now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your Watchman of the Night Skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live, and I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Tonight, my guest is Gerard Artson. The author is a long-standing co-worker of Share International, a worldwide network of groups affiliated with British esotericist Benjamin Krim, who is the main source of information about the return of the world teacher and the masters of wisdoms now at the dawn of a new cosmic cycle. His articles about the extraterrestrial presence on Earth have been published in Share International magazine and other publications, and he is a regular guest on radio talk shows in the USA, the UK, Australia, the Netherlands, and elsewhere about UFOs and related subjects. He also gives talks about the significance of the ET presence and its connection with the Ageless Wisdom teaching, and is lectured in America, Europe, and Asia. Tonight, are extraterrestrials here for our good? My guest, Gerard Artson. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live, Gerard. How you doing, my friend?
Hello. I'm fine. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
I am very excited to have you on the show because this is a different avenue than I probably had with any other guest on the show. And your second book is the one that's sitting in front of me, Here to Help, UFOs and the Space Brothers. Message from Space, Life is One, So Live as One or Perish. Very, very interesting title. And I've been reading the book and I find it very fascinating. So hopefully we can get into some of the areas tonight. First of all, let me ask you this, Gerard. What made you write this book?
Well, you know, my first book was about George Adamski, and it's like a rehabilitation of Adamski's character and mission, which has been misrepresented ever since he came to fame in the second half of the 1950s. That was based on a lot of obscure publications that were never reprinted after he published them himself, so they were never available to the wider audience. And after I finished that book, I came across so much information, especially from the early contactees, also from the 50s, but also from more contemporary contactees that support his information. And I went about sort of triangulating the facts as I see them from these various sources, including Adamski, but also from the Ageless Wisdom teaching, as you will have seen in my book, which hasn't been done before, even though there are a lot of historical connections between the flying saucer movement and the whole UFO phenomenon and the wisdom teachings. And if you know Adamski's first major publication, Flying Saucers Have Landed, which he co-wrote with Desmond Leslie, then you'll know that Desmond Leslie's part of that book was, in fact, a historical overview in which he made a lot of these connections already that I've further explored and expanded in this book, Here to Help.
Now, does he believe UFOs are here for our help or here for they're here to do no good?
Do I believe?
Yes, you.
Oh, yes. I'm absolutely convinced that flying saucers, unidentified flying objects, as we call them, for lack of identification on the part of, or rather lack of recognition on the part of our governments and military, etc., they are here to help us. And they have been here throughout the millennia, but especially since the invention of nuclear fission technology,
yeah,
that gave us the atom bomb and that sort of sealed the victory of the Allies in the Second World War over the Axis powers. But especially since that discovery and the development ever since, the people from space are here to help us, first of all, to contain the damage that we're doing to the planet by our employment of this technology. And also in many other ways, they have diffused, according to the sources and the records that I've not uncovered, but I've sort of brought them back to the fore. You may have read that, you know, I'm not just tapping into the well-known sources from the United States, but also from Italy, mass contact case in Italy, and from South America especially. They've been, you know, active diffusing political crises here on this planet, and are also helping our scientists to lay the foundations for a new technology that will provide the energy that we need on this planet, clean energy, freely available energy, to avert the final destruction of our habitat.
Now, we have a select few that are in charge of this world, a select few families. They don't understand this, do they? I mean, they understand they've somehow stolen this technology or got their hands on it, but they're not wanting to do good things with it. Is this correct?
I'm not sure if they stole it, and I'm certain that they didn't steal the technology that I'm talking about. I'm sure they bought up or patented or stole technologies that people from, you know, human beings here on our planet have developed over the decades.
Yeah.
For clean energy that would be available on a mass scale, because what they understand, these few select families, is power. And they don't want to lose that power. So
well,
actually, they've gone about buying it up and putting it away in safes so that we would be dependent on petroleum,
yes,
gasoline.
Yes.
But the technology that I'm referring to is called the technology of light, and that will be available once we, as a planet, as a Earth humanity, have abolished war as a means of resolving conflict, and then it will allow us to use any level of energy we need for domestic use, for transportation, for industrial use, etc.
Yeah.
And this energy is not yet fully available or developed, but the foundations are there.
Hmm. Now, do you think that we are actually going to get over the idea of war? I mean, it seems that, and especially the United States, they seem to pick fights all the time and get their nose into other people's business. Do you think that's ever going to go away?
Well, I don't think we have much choice, actually. If you look at the world today, we can go two ways. Either we go ahead on the old way, in the old ways of competition and greed that have brought us to the brink of destruction.
Yes.
Both environmentally and socially and politically and financially. Or we choose a new way towards cooperation and sharing, creating justice and trust throughout the world so that everyone can have a decent, humane life. And it is my conviction that the demonstrations that we see, you know, in ever greater numbers, mass demonstrations around the globe, and the U.S. has had its own taste of it with the Occupy movement, which
yes,
may be out of the media's view, but has certainly not disappeared. That is the first sign that humanity is choosing to go into the future along the lines of sharing and cooperation.
Hmm. Well, I totally agree with you, but I just curious, they've been going on for so long since the 40s, the industrial complex has just basically taken over the world, and secrecy is abound, even when you see our new Obamacare, you see that we are losing more and more of our freedom. I just, you know, we need this, but I don't know if I see it turning around.
Yes, well, I think it helps if you don't live in the United States, if you will allow me. it seems that the United States is rather self-absorbed in terms of the media. You know,
yeah,
the media tend to, in the U.S., from what I know and from what I see, is rather focused on itself and, you know, in the rest of the world. And the world is a bit bigger than just the United States.
Yes.
So many important things are happening. It's unbelievable. Even in the United States, so many important things are happening. that you know, the media are missing out on. And if you don't rely on the mainstream media, you'd have a much better idea of the tremendous strides forward that humanity is making at this time. And you're right when you say that the military complex seems to have taken control. If it's military or corporate, I think that's the same banana.
Yes.
But they're, you know, they're it's their last ditch stand. They're trying to hold on to things that do not matter too much to most people anymore. People are now increasingly interested in, you know, living a healthy, wholesome life,
yes.
Creating a healthy, or restoring the planet to health, rather.
Yes.
And the what were they called? You know, the lucky few, the happy few.
Yes.
You know, they seem to be living on their own planet, on this planet, and
yeah.
They have no idea what this is all about.
Take a break, and we'll be back with my guests right after these messages. Life-Change Tea does not taste like tea. Fact, Life-Change Tea is not just a green tea. It's different. And fact, our reorders are starting to surpass our new orders. Why? Because people are coming into the know. There are dangerous chemicals being put into the air and dumped into our drinking supply. Chemicals dangerous to our bodies. Life-Change Tea cleanses your body from these harmful toxins and chemicals that attack your body. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Benefit from Life-Change Tea. More energy, lose weight, and feel good. That's GetTheTea.com. Welcome back to the show, and again, my guest is Gerard Artson, and his book is called Here to Help, UFOs and the Space Brothers. His website, www.bgapublications.nl, that's bgapublications.nl, and I've been reading this book, Gerard, and I have to say it's fascinating because most of the time when you get into ufology, it's very negative, and when you get into your book, it's, you know, it's nice to say, hey, there might be somebody trying to help us. Do you think, I mean, it seems that UFOs have been around a very, very long time. Yeah, we have artwork with Mother Mary and baby Jesus, and there's a UFO in the background being painted in. I don't think that was lately. So this has been going on for a very long time. Why have they not helped us before now?
I'm not sure that they haven't. And as far as artwork, the frontispiece in my book is actually a cave painting that was discovered in, I think, 2010 or something in India, and deep in the jungle. And some people say that it's 40,000 years old. So indeed, they have been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
I doubt that they haven't been helping. I mean, I would turn the argument around. You know, the people who say that they're here to conquer the world or to experiment or to crossbreed or all these stories, if they are so advanced that they can cross huge distances through space, why would it take them so long to conquer this planet, you know, that until 50 or 100 years ago was relatively backward, technologically speaking?
Yes,
it doesn't
correct.
Make sense, does it?
There are many scientists that say that our technology is not coming from extraterrestrials. What do you say about that?
I'm not saying that all the our technology is coming from extraterrestrials. Far from it. You know, a lot of it has developed out of our own creativity. But I'm certain that we have been given some help along the way. For instance, through the crash in Roswell, and the Majestic 12 papers indicate that technology found there. Included transistor technology and touchscreen technology, which are now in almost every home around the planet.
Yeah,
and they may well have been back engineered. I don't know about that, but in general, you know, when you talk about help, it doesn't necessarily mean technological help, because as you can see from all the accounts, not only from the early contactees from the 1950s. But also from later contactees, and especially, I would emphasize the officials and dignitaries that are increasingly coming on the record with their own personal experiences and testimonies. Their help seems to be directed at our moral and ethical development, which
yes.
has been lagging behind our technological development. We are now capable of destroying all life on this planet.
Yes.
What kind of development is that? You know, do we need even more technology to help us do that even faster?
Well, you know? Some of the government officials and military officials have said that we are using some of the technology, which I've always thought this was kind of crazy, but using some of the technology so that when the extraterrestrials come in, that we actually can try to annihilate them. Which, if we're getting technology from them to annihilate them, then that to me says they already have technology that far surpasses what they've even given us.
Yeah, so that wouldn't make sense either.
No, but yet there are people that believe this, and we see that we have done many times trying to shoot at ships and try to take them out, and of course, whatever we've done, we see the reverse engineering of the Roswell crash and many others, where we have taken their technology and their ships and reverse engineered them, and now it's a wonder whose ships are really flying, theirs or ours. So you wonder.
Well, obviously, you know, there are craft around, either U.S. or Russian or Chinese, I don't know, that are based on technologies that. That we didn't have before the exchange started between Earth scientists and extraterrestrial scientists.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that Earth scientists will not be able to use extraterrestrial technology that would surpass their own technology. That would be ridiculous, and that would not make any sense whatsoever.
Exactly.
Sorry?
Well, I was going to say there's many scientists that believe that they are, you know, the genetic code, the DNA. They want to figure out a way to make a new hybrid. What would that be about?
I would have no idea. I mean, as I said before, why would they have waited until now to do that if they have been around for millennia?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't make sense. These stories have come up ever since. Or only since the disinformation campaign started in the second half of the 1950s, because George Adamski mainly, but other contactees as well from that era, were drawing so much attention from the public. You know, there was such a huge public attention, interest in their message of hope for humanity, which was
yeah.
in the midst of the Cold War, mind you.
Yeah.
You know, there was a continuous threat between the United States and the Soviet Union with nuclear weapons. And
yes.
I was born in 1957. I grew up in the 60s. And even in the 60s, this threat was still very present into the 1970s, you know, until
yeah.
Gorbachev opened up Russia, the Soviet Union, and invited Reagan to enter into this treaty.
Yes.
That's when détente started. But you know, the original contactee had a message of hope, and any of the officials and dignitaries, whether it's Pope John XXIII or Edgar Mitchell or Gordon Cooper or just recently Prime Minister Medvedev of Russia, before him, Filipov, an astronomer from Bulgaria, Kirsan Ilyumchinov, the president from a southern Russian republic, and so many others that I quote in my book. All of them state that they seem to have positive intentions. In any case, if they have personal experiences with them, they were positive experiences. So they seem to confirm the messages from the early contactees, and the negative stories only started to appear after the disinformation campaign in the 1950s started kicking in.
Do you think 1947, and we just have a few seconds here, do you think 1947 was a pivotal point in history for extraterrestrials?
I don't know if I would call it pivotal, but it was certainly pivotal in terms of the cover-up.
Okay, we'll talk about the cover-up. We'll talk about the cover-up on the other side. We'll be right back after these messages. Want to know something? I love my job. People calling into Life Change Tea saying, I love the tea. I just love the tea. I love the way it makes me feel. Love is a powerful word. But for some of you, you can't love the tea if you never tried it. It is my job to encourage new people to try Life Change Tea. So what could I tell you? Love is a beautiful thing. I could tell you this. I personally drink Life Change Tea every day. I love it. Anyway, if you want to order your tea, call us. 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can read up on our many products and order online. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Life Change Tea, spreading a little love for health.
I was left to my own devices. Many days fell away with nothing to show. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I going to be an optimist about this? How am I going to be an optimist about this? We were caught up and lost in all of our vices. In our poses, the doors settled around us. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? If you close your eyes, eh-oh, 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 eh-oh. Oh, where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? Oh, where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great my hell's breaking darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've
been... Welcome to The Other Side. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live, UFOEncountersLive.com. And my guest today is Gerard Artson. His book is Here to Help, UFOs and the Space Brothers. A message from Space: life is one, and so live as one or perish. Now, when you write this last message from Space: life is one, so live as one or perish. Are they warning us, Gerard?
Yes, they're warning us against ourselves and our own actions. They're warning us about the pernicious take that we seem to have on life and on each other. You know, we have built this civilization, this global society, that is bent on self-destruction. So unless we realize that all life is one and interconnected, not only on this planet, but
right,
even interplanetary,
yes,
and act on that realization and start protecting the planet, restoring the planet to health, and restoring or at least creating social justice, so that we are not going to have huge groups of people antagonized because they've been left out of the economic, you know, the race towards success, we will destroy ourselves.
I mean, if
24 nations with nuclear weapons,
yeah,
about now, and the risks of terrorist groups getting their hands on nuclear weapons are increasing by the day.
Yeah.
So we owe it to ourselves and to the planet to turn this around and just face reality, face the facts. We've created this mess. Unless we solve it, we'll destroy ourselves.
Well, I have to say this. If these extraterrestrials are so intelligent, then they must know that we are led, you know, we'll use the United States, but I believe this goes in all countries. We are led by borderline dictators, greed, and corruption. So if these extraterrestrials are so intelligent, why do they not help us relieve ourselves of this kind of leadership and put in the right kind of leadership? And we can see this even through the times of the ancient texts, where they had kings that would destroy and with greed and so on and so forth. Why do they not somehow help us to get a leadership that is not corrupt, that is not greedy, and that actually cares about their people?
Yes, I understand where your question comes from, but if, you know, it sounds a bit like what the United States has done in Iraq. There was a dictator there, the Americans burst in with weapons, bringing democracy. You cannot bring democracy or freedom under force. It's not possible. You can,
yes,
you can see in Iraq that it hasn't worked, and it wouldn't work on the planet as a whole. Freedom has to come from within, and it has to be our choice, not their choice.
Yeah,
are intelligent because they adhere to the law of free will. They respect and protect our free will, and we as Earth humanity will have to find a way to get better political systems, economic systems, financial, social systems. It's going to be a major overhaul. The extraterrestrial is not their responsibility. It is our responsibility, but we're not alone, and that's what I write in my book. We're not alone.
But if it's not their responsibility, then why do they peek in and try to change things here and there?
Because it in that respect, it's in their interest as well, because we are part of this interplanetary community. We are part of a solar system that works as a system. Even though we may not understand it, but all the planets in our solar system are inhabited. Some planets are more evolved, far more evolved. Other planets are not yet as evolved as planet Earth. And the more evolved planets know that planet Earth is in the middle of this major transition where we will come to realize that we are one humanity, and as a humanity we are like one organ in this organism that is called planet Earth. And we need to get this realization straight that we are all one and interconnected, and start working towards that.
Do these extraterrestrials, Gerard, do they serve another power, a higher power, a creator, or are they the power?
No, they would say, as they have said in the case of the mass context, in the Amicizia case, in the friendship case in Italy, that they are the servers of the Lord. Adepts, as they call themselves. And if you look at the wisdom teachings, that really is my background as a researcher, you'll see that this planet has a logos, like you could say a creator or a local godhead who works and whose plan is to serve the plan of the solar logos, the solar godhead, the god of the solar system. And so it continues throughout cosmos, you know, in ever higher constellations.
So does this break down to like...
The extraterrestrials are the people from the other planets.
Okay, so is this like the Christ force that is over maybe the Earth, and yet there is a Yahweh that maybe is a head of the solar system? Is it something like that, or is it something different than that?
It's something like that. Yahweh, in fact, is the local logo, so to speak, for Earth. That's the Yahweh of the Old Testament, obviously. You know, the solar logos, we don't know anything about that being, but it's a cosmic being whose body of expression is the solar system, and our planet is one of the centers of energy in that system. So, you know,
so in
the extraterrestrials, the inhabitants of the other planets, are here to help us through this major transition that will bring us to a higher level of understanding of life.
Have you ever had any connection with these extraterrestrials, personally?
No, not personally. My research is purely based on sources from other contactees.
Okay.
And books that I read, etc.
So why do they pick certain people to contact and others they don't? And that's my first question. My second question, why does the government pick certain people to torture them in their experiments? And how are they picked? Do you know any of those?
Yes, why do extraterrestrials show themselves to some people, not to others?
Yes.
I don't know. I would imagine that they would try to contact people who they think might be willing and open to bring out their stories, as many of the contactees did in the 1950s.
Okay.
Of course, we all know what happened to these contactees. They were ridiculed and defamed. And
sure.
That was not just in the United States, but also in the UK and in Italy and other countries.
Yes.
So, you know, there have always been brave people who did come out. And for instance, a fairly recent case was Carlos Cruz in Mexico, for instance. And again, you know, all the people that I mentioned before, the officials, it's amazing to see more and more of them come on the record with their experiences.
Yes. So what about their
way of letting humanity know about their existence and the reality of their existence, despite all the government's efforts to cover up or pollute the public thought, public thinking about the extraterrestrials, because that is the purpose of the disinformation campaign. You know, the bad experiences, the alien abduction, so to speak, that have been going on. There's increasing evidence that was set up by secret government agencies that even the government doesn't know about. But that's just meant to scare the public, or else, you know, ridicule the extraterrestrial presence here on Earth.
So why does the so-called government abductions, how do they pick their people? Do you know that at all? And why do they pick certain people? Is it because they're strong enough to put up with the torturous traumatization that they put onto their people? Or what would be the reason for that?
The reason I think I just tried to explain, but why they choose some people and not others, I have no idea. I have no idea, really. Because
some of the abductees have a military background, some of them do not. So some of them have a religious background, some of them do not. So you wonder, and the question that kind of proposes is, if the extraterrestrials, the real extraterrestrials, are not here to create a new race, then who is? Because somebody's messing with the DNA and sexual traumatization, what that's going on. So what is the bad guy up to?
I strongly doubt if that is actually what's going on from the extraterrestrial perspective. And again, I think it would fit into the picture of secret government agencies trying to pollute the public's mind about the ET presence. It may look like they're tampering with DNA or doing all those atrocious things. But I think what we need to focus on is the reality of the ET presence, and the reality of that can only be found in the original sources, which is the accounts of the contactees in the 1950s.
Yeah.
And anything that confirms those accounts, because whatever people may say about negative contacts have only started to come out after the start of the disinformation campaign. And there's nothing that can gainsay that. There's nothing to show that these things were going on before the early contactees started to come forward.
Yeah. Genesis 6 speaks about fallen angels in the ancient scriptures of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And it talks about fallen angels, and it talks about Noah having his race basically being perfect in every way, which to me means DNA. So it seems that clear back 2,000 plus, 6,000 years ago, that here is this DNA interruption clear back with humans then, if that is to be true, which it seems to be. So, again, going back to fallen angels, what are these extraterrestrials? Is there a whole nether race when it comes to fallen angels?
No, I think that's a general misunderstanding of the wisdom teachings. The fallen angels are, they can be one of two things. Either they are angels or celestial beings who have willingly descended to the physical levels to support, to help the creation of this planet and all the different kingdoms on this planet, or else, they may be the higher beings who have fallen into, materialistic ways. I don't know about that. Noah was a different story. Noah, or at least the story about Noah in the Bible, seems to have been based on a master of wisdom, who the masters of wisdom, according to the wisdom teachings, are the people who have evolved out of the human race on this planet into the next kingdom up from the human kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. And now we're overlooking our evolution from behind the scenes ever since the final destruction of the continent of Atlantis, almost 100,000 years ago. And Noah, or the story of Noah, was symbolic to an extent of the masters safeguarding the various species from the destruction of Atlantis.
Mm.
And so, it's a misunderstanding and mixing all kinds of things into a general negative view of the ET presence.
So the warning that came about Atlantis, and obviously Atlantis was destroyed, do you think it's basically history is about ready to repeat itself, and if we don't watch out what's going on and change our ways, that this world might have the same destiny as Atlantis did?
In a way, but see, history repeats itself, but always on a higher turn of the spiral. And in a way, our civilization is going rapidly in the way of the Roman Empire or the Atlantean civilization, in the sense that all our systems are crumbling before our eyes.
Yeah.
Nothing works as it should anymore. Nothing serves the needs of the people anymore.
Yeah.
And fortunately, as I mentioned before, we're not alone. A large group of masters of wisdom have returned into the everyday world, even though they have not made themselves known yet. And at the head of this group is the master of all the masters, the world teacher. And he's actually expected by all the major religions, even though it's under different names. The Christians are waiting for the second coming of Christ, and the Jews are waiting for the Messiah, and the Buddhists for the fifth Buddha, etc., etc. And according to Benjamin Graham, who himself was a contactee in the 1950s in the UK, but who has worked with the Master of Wisdom since 1959, this group is now ready any day now, literally, to step forward, make themselves known, and inspire humanity to make the right choices.
Interesting.
Backed up by the help of the people from space.
Interesting. We're going to take a break. My guest is Gerard Artson, and we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Some quick questions. Do you know what is in the water you are drinking? Do you care? Have you considered the quality of water for your plants and animals? Do you believe water is important to your life? If your water could be changed into healthy water inexpensively, would you consider changing? If so, log on to StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Once again, StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Learn, investigate, and act. Watch the informational short videos on the website. Water is most important. Structured water is beneficial. And learn how structured water can benefit you. Log on to StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Welcome back to the last segment of UFO Encounters Live. My guest is Gerard Artson, and his book is Here to Help, UFOs and the Space Brothers. Message from Space, life is one, so live as one, or perish. Those are some interesting words. Gerard, Fukushima in Japan, we had a major problem with a tsunami, which has now, we're seeing Fukushima dump 400 tons of polluted radiation into the Pacific Ocean every single day. The mass media is lying about it, saying that everything's okay, the water's fine. And we know this is not true. And is there any intervention from the extraterrestrials in the case of Fukushima that you have found?
Yes. And this information I have from Benjamin Krem, who's the editor of Share International magazine, who gives... who answers people's questions about these things. And it actually ties in with what I've documented in my first book and also in my second book, where I have segments that go into the threat from nuclear pollution. And what people need to understand is that the worst level of radiatory pollution, pollution from radiation, is on levels that our scientists do not recognize. We recognize the solid physical and the gaseous physical and the the solid and the liquid and the gaseous physical. But above that, there are four further levels, physical levels, or the etheric physical levels, that our scientists do not yet understand or accept, even though they're trying to prove their existence when they're looking for the Higgs boson or, you know, dark matter and things like that, because that is what the Higgs boson and dark matter and all these things are really about.
Okay.
But on those levels, the pollution and the damage done to our environment, but also to our bodies and our immune systems, is on those levels, because all the physical forms that we see, including our physical bodies, are the precipitation of their etheric counterparts on the etheric levels. And that when those etheric counterparts are damaged, that has an effect on our physical bodies. So since the 1950s, or even before that, since the invention of nuclear fission technology in the 1940s, the space people have done everything in their power to neutralize the effects of that radiation on those etheric levels. And the same they have been doing in the case of Fukushima.
So Fukushima is, you're basically saying in a nutshell, they're controlling Fukushima, so it would be a lot worse if they had not stepped in?
That's exactly the right way of putting it, yes. It's not that they can eliminate all danger, because they have offered us in the 1950s technologies in exchange for us giving up the nuclear technology.
Yeah.
And of course, in the midst of the Cold War, the Americans nor the Soviets wanted to give up their technology. So they had to hold back. But That is what they've been doing. It has been our choice to continue developing nuclear technology, but as far as the law of free will allows, they have been trying to neutralize and contain the damage that we've done to our own planet.
Now, I had a guest on, a couple of years ago, and he talked about how some of these ships would fly over a base with loaded missiles and nuclear warheads, and they would disarm them. Sometimes they would even fly over and arm them, but they never stayed armed, and so his understanding was maybe they just was trying to figure out how to work it, but most of the time they disarmed them. Is this something that you've heard about as well?
Well, there was this major news conference at the, in Washington, National Press Center, with Robert Salas, among many others, seven others, former Army officials from nuclear bases who gave testimony that they had seen with their own eyes these craft that were apparently intelligently controlled and were apparently able to disarm the weapons that were at their base. And they never did any definite harm to those installations. So their conclusion was that there was no hostile intent, but they're clearly showing, one, hey, we're worried about your nuclear capability, and two, our technology is still slightly ahead of yours.
Does the nuclear technology actually destroy the extraterrestrials? Because I've heard that it does. Have you found any information that says yes or no?
George Adamski already wrote in the 1950s, based on the information he got from his extraterrestrial contacts, that if we were to blow up our planet through nuclear explosions, that would set off a major chain reaction throughout the solar system, and it would be dangerous for many decades, if not hundreds of years, for people from other planets to travel across space.
So is this... I guess where I'm going here is it are they saving us from ourselves? Because obviously we have these families that are incorporating their greed and lust and desire for control and corruption, and they can't even live by their own laws. So they institute this. So is the extraterrestrial actually in it for themselves because they know these people are going to end up pushing the button out of a power takeover, and they're trying to protect their universe, or are they actually trying to be here to help us because we're morons?
Well, I would say neither, and a little bit of both, because they know that we are their brothers and sisters, and that's how they see us.
Okay.
And that's how they call us. Except we are a little less advanced than them in many cases, at least the ones that have come here. And they're here to help us safely cross the street, if you will, to the safer land of cooperation, sharing, and justice. And they know they're here because they know we can make it across the street.
So they are spiritual beings.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Now, we are spiritual beings, but it seems that many of us have lost that. Are they here to help us with that as well? Because is that how they're trying to change us, is to waken us spiritually so that we can say, you know, hey, this corruption and this greed and this Obamacare and all this stuff that we're being told is wonderful is not wonderful, and we should maybe lean on the Creator. Is that their idea, to awaken us?
That's not the main purpose, I would say, but I suppose they do that from time to time, as some contactees and testimonies seem to indicate. But that is the task of the Masters of Wisdom and the World Teacher, who are now emerging under law. And as I said before, it may happen any day now. The World Teacher is giving interviews in several countries around the world, not announced as the World Teacher, but calling people to, you know, the calling on people to demand justice and peace, etc.
Yeah.
And these masters and the world teacher are here to inspire us to take those steps. And the space people will, after the world teacher has declared himself to the world and the masters have emerged, the space people will also play their role more openly.
Okay. All right, so I guess the last question, before we don't have time, so I'm going to have to bring you back again, but the last question I'd have for you is, you're saying this is about ready to emerge. So when this takes place, is this what everybody's talking about, the major shift, when these people make direct contact with us, when these extraterrestrials make direct contact with us and say, look, you're destroying yourselves, and here's some ideas, and they actually come out right out in the open. Is this the shift everybody's talking about, in a sense?
Yes, in a sense. It has many different names, but I believe the shift will be, you know, gradual, but there will be a major sea change in people's consciousness and awareness about the nature of life, the spiritual nature of life. Mm. Once the world teacher, Maitreya, is his personal name, and the masters of wisdom have become known again and will have introduced to us the brothers and sisters from space.
Very interesting. Very interesting. The book is Here to Help UFOs and the Space Brothers. You can go to www.bgapublications.nl. That's bgapublications.nl. Gerard, you've been a great guest. Love to have you back sometime. Thank you so much for doing the interview.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And if people are interested in the book, it's available worldwide on you know, all the online retailers.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, I thank Gerard for being on the show. It's nice to have a guest with a positive influence. We've had so many of the negative information come forward. It's nice to think that maybe we're being visited, and maybe they're going to step in for all the leadership that is so corrupt. So things could be changing. That's a positive influence. Next week, I have a guest, Nigel Kerner. He's going to be with us, a freelance journalist. And his book is called Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls. This is something I've been pondering in my own mind for quite some time. I remember having an interview where one of the extraterrestrials that was dealing with the abductee had something stored in a silver cylinder in the middle of a ship. And with this, she got up to go and look at it, and he was reluctant to show her. And the drawer finally popped open, and basically this was told to her that this was the essence of men. Now, when you look up the word essence, it also went all the way down the line to soul. So are they extracting souls, you know, and better known as a spirit, out of man? And no one really knows, obviously, all theory. But we're going to hear another theory coming from Nigel Kerner. So you're not going to want to miss next week. Again, Nigel Kerner, Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls. He'll be with me next week. So until then, beware your surroundings, and good night.
You've been listening to Roddy McMullen, your watchman of the night skies, on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com and make contact.